Welcome to the Rap Soul Podcast, where we dive deep into the world of music that moves our hearts and gets our feet tapping. This is the intersection of rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. We appreciate you for listening. Share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. The podcast is hosted by 12 Kyle. Next up, the Rap Soul Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. I am your boy, your host, 12 Kyle. I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. Again, this is the Rap Soul Podcast. This is the intersection where we have discussions about music and artists from the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s. Simply put, this is the best music podcast that you've never heard until right now. Again, I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you for watching. On this episode, what I want to talk about is a new series that we're going to introduce to the Rap Soul Podcast. It is called Game Changers. And simply put, it is an artist or an entity that changed the game forever. When I started thinking about this idea, and I came up with this idea a couple of years ago, one of the first things that came to mind was the entity that I'm going to talk about on this particular episode, and that is Napster. Napster was a total game changer. I will go as far as to say that Napster changed the game so much that the music industry never caught up to Napster, even though it did shut down Napster. But it didn't catch up to Napster and the music industry as far as where technology was, and quite frankly, still behind to this day. If you're not familiar with Napster, I don't know how you could not be, but there may be some of you who are listening or watching who weren't around or alive when Napster was doing its thing, if you will. Napster, simply put, was a peer-to-peer share facility, basically, that allowed, it was a technology mechanism that allowed people to share music peer-to-peer. What I mean by that is 12 Kyle had a computer in his house in Atlanta, and Uncle Dolomite had a computer in his house in Compton, and Baylor had a computer at his house in East LA, and we were all able to use the music that was on each other's computers without ever communicating with each other. You simply log into Napster, and whatever music that I had on my computer hard drive, if Baylor wanted to get it from me, he could download it from my Napster file. And vice versa, if Uncle Dolomite had some music that I wanted, I could do that. And I never had to talk to them. I never had to do anything to get to know them or friend them or follow them on social media or anything like that. Napster really came to my attention somewhere around 1999. I do remember Napster being a thing because it was right around that time I'd heard about it, but I don't think I got active on Napster until probably 2000, because I distinctly remember being on Napster in 2000 because in 1999, August 9th of 1999, my wife Charisse and I had our first child, our son Dion. And we were in my one bedroom apartment when we had this. I don't remember being on Napster in that one bedroom apartment. My computer interactions were just chat groups at that particular time because chat groups were the thing. But in 2000, early in 2000, I remember in January of 2000, we moved into a new apartment, and I remember setting up my desk, and I remember having my computer at my desk, and I do remember downloading music off of Napster probably somewhere in February of 2000. So I do remember that. That's how far back I go to Napster. But it was a proprietary peer-to-peer file sharing application that, again, allowed you to get music from any person anywhere in the world, not just in Atlanta, not just in LA, not just in New York, not just in Milwaukee. It was wherever you could find the music. And the reason why I say the internet did this And it was a big thing because the thing about it was, as we transitioned from hip hop, and I'll use hip hop specifically, as we transitioned from hip hop in the early 90s, it went from, excuse me, in the late 80s to early 90s, it went from, you know, kind of positive messages, pro-black. It got a little bit more gangster, got a little bit more darker, got a little bit more real, got a little bit more street, right? And you know of the artists that came through that time period. Well, in the mid-90s, that was when you saw, you know, a renaissance, but also you saw hip-hop see some of its darkest moments in losing, you know, artists like Tupac and the Notorious B.I.G. But the back part of the 90s was very interesting because what we had was, in file sharing, the internet was something that was taking off. It was something that wasn't available to everyone. Well, actually, it was available, but not everybody had the internet. And the funny thing is, like, back then, it wasn't like you could just click a button and download music. You could, but it took forever. Like, I remember if I wanted to download a song, that might not take that long. If I wanted to download, let's just say I Get Around by Tupac, and it was on King Germ's computer, I could probably download I Get Around, which is probably about a 3 or 4 minute song. It'd probably take me about 10, 15 minutes to download that song, depending on how fast his computer was and how fast my computer was. I'll touch more on that in just a second. But if I wanted to download the Me Against the World album, now that would take more time. Depending on what type of computer I had and what type of computer King Germ had, I normally would download people's albums and from my Napster account, and I literally would like set it up and I'd hook it up and I'd log into my account and I'd start the download process like right before I went to bed. And more often than not, by the time I woke up, the download was complete. But I mean, it literally would take hours. If I downloaded from a computer, it may take 5-6 hours just to download, you know, 12 songs. It was the internet. There was no such thing as just being fast. Now, I mentioned earlier about internet speeds. The internet speeds came to play because if you had a higher, faster speed, your download time would be faster. For instance, if you were on, I think it was like a T1 or T2, those were the fastest. Those were the closest things to high speed internet that we had. It wasn't like now how it is, you know, with Wi-Fi and fiber and all this stuff like that. And you click a button and as soon as, I mean, the pages pop up and they go down so fast. We didn't have that back then. So, you know, how often you downloaded something or what you downloaded really depended on, you know, who you were downloading from and what type of computer you had. I don't think for a while I didn't have a T1. I think I was probably like a T3 download. So I was a little bit slower. So not a lot of people were downloading from me. But when I went to download, I made sure that if I wanted to download somebody's song or I wanted to download someone's album, I got it from a T1. Because I, quite honestly, I didn't have time to waste. And what this did was it started the process of us, the consumer, getting music, pirated music, if you will, for free. Now, there's a morality piece here that I'm not going to get into, but, you know, there were people who didn't like the idea of the fact that, you know, we could go online and get someone's whole album and not have to pay for it. I will say this much. Most of the stuff that I downloaded off of Napster was not new music. It was music that either I had on CD or I wanted to get on CD. And that was another thing that happened with Napster. Napster helped the innovation of the blank CD. Blank CDs were a big thing. And most computers at this particular time, whether or not you had a laptop or you had a regular desktop, most computers were being built with a CD burner. And what that was you could get a blank CD. And here's how the game would work. You could get a blank CD And let's say you wanted to download the latest Jay-Z album. You would get that blank CD and you would keep it, right? And you would go to Napster, find the newest Jay-Z album. Let's say the latest Jay-Z album was Volume 1 from Jay-Z. So you go get the Volume 1. So you see it, it's on a T1. So I start downloading it, right? I go to bed, wake up the next morning. I have the Jay-Z album in my, and it's in order. It's in order just like how it is on the album. And the sound quality is great. Everything is great. No problems. And then what I would do is take that CD, put it in the CD burner, and I would then burn the CD. Now, the CD burner, depending on the type of burner you had, it could take a while. It could take, you know, a couple of hours or whatever to burn. But when all was said and done, now I have Volume 1 from Jay-Z. I didn't leave my house. It didn't cost me a dime. And what happened was there were more and more people like me who were doing this type of thing. And the record industry realized, like, hey, this is preventing us from making money. Because here's the thing, folks. What people don't tell you about that time was CDs were very expensive. I mean, like, we saw CDs go from what used to be tapes. We saw tapes go from like $7 to like $9. And then CDs, when they came, it became a thing in the prime of CDs. The CD run was, I'd say CDs could go anywhere from $10 to $20 for your favorite artist. Now, that may not sound like a lot, but think about it like this. What if your favorite three rappers or rap groups came out with albums at the same time? So let's say Run DMC, Outkast, and A Tribe Called Quest come out with albums on the same day. You got to make a choice. You only got $20. You can't buy all of the albums. What Napster did was it allowed us to go peer-to-peer and basically be able to rip those albums and those songs off of people who we didn't even know their computers and compile our own database of songs. You could make mixtapes. It was a great time to be alive. Now, I don't want to make it sound as if like I was being insensitive to the artist, because I don't think that I was, but I was also understanding that like music was coming at this point in such a juncture to where it was coming so fast. Pause. It was being developed so fast that it was hard to keep up. And I'll be honest, and a lot of people are honest about this, but particularly as we moved into the 2000s, and I'm going to strictly stick with rap and R&B. Excuse me, rap and hip hop. The music wasn't as good as it was in the previous decade, right? So you found yourself kind of like in the middle, because the music wasn't as good, but you couldn't necessarily roll the dice and buy bad albums. There were a lot of record companies. There was a lot of money being spent, and the artist. If you want a podcast where culture, conversation, and life collide, where you get insightful commentary, engaging discussions, and a fresh perspective on everything, then you need to listen to the 12 Kyle podcast, hosted by the one and only, yours truly, 12 Kyle, a voice that you know and trust. This podcast will bring you thought-provoking moments, compelling stories, and a whole lot of fun. Whether you're a first-time listener or just tuning in, each episode promises to be something new and exciting. So sit back, relax, join 12 Kyle, myself, and my guests as we break down the world around us and give you stories that you've never heard before, from nostalgic throwbacks to everything in between. The 12 Kyle podcast is a front row seat to this conversation. Subscribe now and never miss an episode of the 12 Kyle podcast, where the vibe is always real and the discussion is always worth your time. Are you feeling nostalgic for the golden eras of rap and soul music? If so, tune in to the Rap Soul Podcast. We are your weekly journey through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, spotlighting the music and the hidden gems that shaped the soundtrack of our lives. From the powerful beats to the soulful melodies, we bring you the best of the past with fresh insights and stories. Rediscover the music that defined a generation. Subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast and enjoy the vibes. Development and a lot of the music that we were getting wasn't as good as it was 10 years or 5 years previous. So what that did was that made the consumer a little bit anxious, because quite a few of us, and if you're being honest, you were probably in this group where you bought albums that really weren't that good and you suffered and your pocket suffered. You know, no, if I spend my last $20 and I'm in college, or I'm fresh out of college and I, you know, got a job, I'm not trying to waste my money. So whatever money I invest into this music, it's got to be dope. Does it have to be a classic? No, it doesn't have to be a classic, but it's got to be dope. I don't want to waste my time. And so subsequently, because of the production of how much music was being produced, the music suffered, I think. Also, like I said, the advent of the blank CD. I recently saw a movie that came out. I think it came out in 2024. It was called, what was it called? How Music Got Free. How Music Got Free. And it talked about how this one little plant, a CD making plant in Shelby, North Carolina. And this one guy basically shut everything down because he was able to bootleg CDs and sell them before the new CDs were coming through the plant. So imagine getting an Eminem CD and you're able to make a copy of it and sell it to your friends, and you make a couple of $100 or maybe a couple of $1,000. It's not in your mind. You don't think you're hurting Eminem, but what happens is the record companies realize, okay, hey, these albums are going out and we're not seeing all of the profit because somebody's leaking. And they basically, if you watch the documentary, it's a two-part documentary. I think both episodes are about 45 minutes long. They were able to trace it. The FBI, the authorities, were able to trace it to this one particular plant. And a guy who was a manager who had been there for a while found a nice little hustle. And, you know, I can understand how he got into what he did. And it was through mechanisms like Napster that made these type of things happen and made it possible. But, you know, that came at a cost, because at some point the price of blank CDs skyrocketed, and places that I used to buy blank CDs from, like Best Buy, for instance, their price of CDs and blank CDs went up. And so it was just like, man, I had to make a choice. Was I either going to pay $20 for a case of blank CDs and be able to get as much music as I could on those CDs? Or was I going to pay individually for all of these albums? And I'll be honest, a lot of the music, particularly hip hop in the early 2000s, wasn't as good. And so in my mind, I made an executive decision to not pay for albums. And the music came free. And I think what happened then was many fans, just like myself, got used to getting music for free. And technically you weren't getting it for free. Technically you were getting it on the backs of these artists and these record labels, and you were sticking it to the record labels. And many of us who were sticking it to the record labels felt like we were doing what the record labels had been doing to us for the previous 3 or 4 years. And was that a fair criticism? I'm not sure, but I will say that's what was happening. And in our minds, some of us, myself included, justified it by doing that. As I mentioned, I was newly married, had a kid, and no, I wasn't like I was in college where I could buy 5 CDs at one time. I just couldn't. So I had to make a choice on what I was going to spend my money on. And I decided to spend it on blank CDs. And right now, currently, if you walk in out of this room in my office and go into my garage, you will see boxes of blank CDs where I made CDs. And again, for the most part, most of the albums that I used or that I made were either albums that I had on tape or, you know, old CDs or what have you. I rarely went after new music. New music was a little bit harder to get, but Like, I remember one time for my Napster file, in one of my Napster files, I had like Prince's whole discography. And in my mind, I'm like, it's Prince. That's my favorite guy of all time. But I wasn't going to buy all of Prince's albums. I didn't have all of his albums. And there was no way I was going to buy. I mean, Prince has like 5,000 albums. There's no way I was going to buy all of those albums. So in my mind, I justified it by saying, hey, I can go on Napster. I can get me a couple of blank CDs and I can make as many Prince albums as I want to make. And I did. And, you know, ultimately the artists suffered. You know, they've suffered, and the record industry honestly never caught up. Now, eventually, as you many of you know, the FBI and the feds shut down Napster. But by the time they shut down Napster, a platform and spending habits and listening habits had been formed. Music, quite honestly, became more disposable. And as that music became more disposable, we just didn't put as much into the music as we did once before. And we didn't have any skin in the game, if you will, for the music. We weren't as invested in the music. And what I mean by that is, if I take you back to 1988, if I wanted to buy The Great Adventures of Slick Rick, I had to get in a car. I had to drive to the record store. I had to purchase the tape or the CD with my own money. Well, no, CDs weren't out then, so it was tapes. I had to purchase the tape with my own money. I had to drive back home. And mind you, I didn't have a car in 1988. And so I had to drive back home, then put it in a tape deck, listen to it, so forth and so on. In a tape deck, run the risk of the tape popping, you know, which was something that happened quite often, particularly if you played the tape a lot. So a lot of different things could happen. Wherein, if you move forward to 2000, 2001, 2002, you know, you weren't as invested. I could literally open my computer, download an album, and walk away and eventually burn it to a CD once it finishes the download, burn it to a CD and have that CD to put in my car and ride around and listen to. And it didn't cost me anything. If the CD, if the album that I downloaded was whack, I didn't lose anything. But ultimately the artist suffered, and the record label suffered too, but none of us cared about the record labels. We only cared about the artists, to some of us. I can't say all of us. I know I did. But Napster was a game changer. It was a game changer. It changed everything about music and how we consumed it. And if you fast forward to 2025, what do we do now? We stream music, you know. Even to this point, I don't think I can, or maybe some of you can, tell me the cost of a stream. Back in the day, if, you know, 50 Cent sold 800,000 copies of his album, you knew how much that was and how much it was going to bring him. It wasn't going to bring him $800,000, but it was going to bring him a sizable chunk of money because that's what his album sold. But now, if you sell if you have a billion streams, a billion with a B, I don't know how much money that is for the artist, because streaming is something that has changed everything. And it goes back to what happened with Napster. So in a lot of ways, Napster was truly the gift and the curse. It was the curse in the sense that it pushed music to a place where we are now, where music is very disposable. The artists, quite frankly, are very disposable. Record labels don't manufacture and cultivate artists as they once did. Because simply put, kids, you got to make a hit. And if you don't make a hit, you won't be around long. There was once a time where, you know, there was artist development. That no longer exists. It's all about, do you have a social media following? You know, can you get people to come to your concerts and buy merch? All of those type of things. And a lot of times things have to do with the artist. It has everything to do with everything, but except the music. And so it's a different space right now, to be honest. It's a different space for everyone to be in. So that was the curse. The gift was Napster allowed us to tap into music, tap into different things that we didn't know were available. I'll be honest. I downloaded a lot of music. And I'm not dry snitching on myself because the statute of limitations have passed. I downloaded a lot of music that, you know, I probably would not have normally listened to. I downloaded some jazz. I downloaded some funk. I downloaded some hip hop. Well, a great deal of hip hop. But most of my catalog was hip hop and R&B. But I mean, I had Go-Go. Shout out to DC. I had a little bit of everything in that catalog. And my Napster files took up most of my computer. And I liked the idea of when I would get on. And the cool part about it was if someone was downloading your music, it wasn't, if I was on CNN.com, it wasn't slowing down my search engine. It wasn't slowing down my search or anything. It didn't have anything to do with my computer. My computer would be working as it normally would, as if no one was downloading and ripping music off of me. But yeah, the feds came in and shut it down. And, you know, too much of a good thing is always going to be bad. But I mean, it was truly the gift and the curse for the music industry. And I will honestly say that the music industry never really bounced back from that. Artists figured out ways to make more money, to earn a living, and to keep going. Record labels really suffered, and a lot of them went under. You know, industry rule number 4080, record company people are shady. Tribe told you that a long time ago, and that still holds true. But Napster was the game changer. It was a platform that allowed people to share music, and in a lot of ways it birthed a lot of friendships. It birthed a lot of partnerships. It did a lot of things, both good and bad. I'm not here to say that Napster was the greatest thing since sliced bread, but it did allow me to, you know, extend my music catalog, and it did allow me to tap into some music that I might not have been able to purchase. So I don't really have a lot of bad things to say about Napster. For as bad as it was good to me. And at the end of the day, that's all that you can ask for. That's going to do it for me. Thanks again for checking out this edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. We drop new episodes every Friday and every Monday at midnight. If you're on social media, check us out. Rap Soul Podcast 12 Kyle across the board. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you for watching. Make sure that you download, subscribe, and share this with a friend. If you'd like to contribute to the podcast financially, hit us up on Cash App, $TWELVEKYLE. Also, don't forget about the flagship station, the 12 Kyle Podcast. That's where we talk about a little bit of everything. Check out the 12 Kyle Podcast wherever you're listening or watching this podcast right here. Again, that's going to do it for me. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. I'll catch you guys next time. 5 G's. Cheer.
Thank you for listening. This concludes the episode. Be sure to subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast. You can find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the podcast on social media. And feel free to continue this discussion on our Reddit page. More importantly, share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. Until next time, 5,000.